people are coming, people are not going to pay this one and two. I want us to read it together, just so that we can again remember the text that we're going through. This is preparation for acquisition, preparation for entrance, preparation for living. And I would like us to read it together. Please read it together, 1, 2, 3.
Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may learn and not to die, and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers.
Right? So that's very important. But there are commandments given, instructions given, directives given. In a day called today, and today has been defined as the day of the Lord, today became the day when we entered into Christ. So there are commandments that were given for the nation of Israel. This today meant the time that they were in the wilderness preparing for transition. Transition to enter into the promised land of God. And the order was very important. It said that you may live. Everyone say live.
Yes.
Live is very important because most people are dying without seeing the promises of God. Then he said multiply. Everyone say multiply. Everyone say multiply second.
Multiply second.
So God desired that you would not live from your multiplication. That your multiplication would come because you live.
Amen.
Get it? Okay? A lot of people are thinking that you live because you multiply, because you increase. Now God's command is given that you may live, but because you live, He can multiply you. He can increase you, He can benefit you. So when you live by His commandment, then resource doesn't become a problem for you. It never is limited, because whatever He tells you, it becomes a command for you. That command causes you to live even though there's an absence of resource. But when you live that life, it brings in multiplication. Are you with me?
Yes.
Not too confused? You must know that. The order is that you must live, and I'll define that. And then he says, go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, and that is entrance. And those are the at least the four phases that we must remember. So we've been defining for you commandments, because there in the nation, in the wilderness, the nation of Israel had commandments they had to follow. Everything is derived by commandments. When you go to the word in the Hebrew, the word command means to constitute, to form, to create. So God gives a command. He basically speaks because He's constituting something. He's forming something. This comes because He wants you to enter into something. He doesn't show you first. He comes through the form of a command. Now, a command has in it authority. It has power backing. So when someone commands, it's usually someone in a position of authority. If you say that God is your God, the Lord is your God, His word, everything He speaks becomes a command for you. It becomes an instruction, it becomes a directive because of the authority He carries. You don't follow any command or any instruction that God gives because He is not the authority figure in you. Are you with me? So if, for instance, let's just say, we say, if you are saved, then you must come to church regularly. Now, that's not written in the Bible. The Bible says, don't forsake the gathering of the saints. That means you must not forsake it, must not forget it. If you don't do that, that's a violation of the command. What will happen is, the edge will be broken. While you'll be breathing, while you'll be operating, you'll be focusing on dealing with your enemies, dealing with all of the sickness around you, rather than living. Okay? This is important. Please understand that as we're moving. And I want to give you some directives. So to constitute means to direct, to order, to command, to charge, to be ordered. And we dealt last week with some of the commands that God gives. You must know that a God of order establishes order through commands. Okay? We'll go back to Genesis chapter 1. The speaking of God is that He commands creation first. Creation knows how to respond to the speakings of God, the commands of God. What was there? Emptiness? Anything else? Darkness? And? Void is emptiness? Chaos. Okay? So why does God speak? He speaks so that there won't be chaos in heaven. Anyone who goes to church all the time, who sits under the word, should not have a chaotic life.
Yeah.
Okay? That's how you live. If your life is not chaotic, if it's ordered, you can live a very good life. You know what happens, like Monday comes after Sunday, and Tuesday comes after Monday. That's an order. If you have that order, you can live because you know what the order is. The next thing is emptiness. When God speaks, He commands. Emptiness is filled.
Yes.
Means if emptiness is there in your finances, when you keep according to the command of God, it gets filled.
Yeah.
Oh. You must know this. Believe this. Because you are functioning according to the command of God. Right from the very beginning, He said that then in darkness, the one main thing is, that's very important is that when the command is given, illumination comes. We'll give you a text for all of that. Just setting a precedent. When God created man, and He put Adam in the garden, like we learned this morning, what did He give him? Command. What was the command for? That he might live. What was the living about? The living was about walking with God and living together in the environment He created. Adam did not die after he disobeyed the command. But he was not living anymore. He was now laboring and toiling. Are you listening? This is important, right? So when you don't follow the command, you shift out of the place of walking with God into the fruitfulness that was designed for you. And you labor and toil. But here's the thing. The first thing he produced was a king that was a murderer. You see, when you shift out of walking in obedience to the command of God, what you produce is very dangerous. That's why the command is important. Who did Cain kill? He didn't kill an enemy. He killed his own brother. So commands are there to constitute family, to constitute values, constitute a nation, to constitute productivity. So when God spoke into creation, he filled all things, He brought an order, He brought a light to it, but then He set up a creation order. So when the commands of God are given to you, they fill emptiness, they sort out the chaos, they bring light, and you become productive. It's the order of God. Order of God. Are you ready? Okay. So to constitute, it means to be commanded. God did that, we did that in Him. God commanded Noah, man, and then you know He created there. Initially God created in Genesis 1, He commanded creation. And then He created Genesis 2, He commanded Adam and Eve, humankind. In Genesis 6, He commanded man and creation. There's a combo there. Noah was commanded, and then all of the animals were commanded to come into the ark. Yeah. So you see that God can bring all things together just by the command of His mouth. And then you go out throughout the scriptures, you see Jacob was commanded, Moses was commanded, Pharaoh was commanded, even the widow of Zarephath was commanded. She had no relationship with God. But God said to Elijah, I have commanded the widow there to take care of you. So God functions by commands. He is commanding Cyprus or Cyrus. Cyrus was commanded to take care of the building of the temple. What was that other guy's name? Hiram. Hiram was commanded. So God, when He functions, when you function in obedience to His command, He can command unbelievers. Hiram was an unbeliever. Cyrus was an unbeliever. He commanded them to become His servants. So the command of God goes beyond just Christians. Goes beyond just believers. The command of God is universal. It causes humankind and creation to be subject to it. But you have been given the benefit of the command of God. When you and I function by the command of God, it will constitute your family, constitute your mind, constitute your world, constitute your business, constitute everything that you're in. So, why was God using commands? Because the nation of Israel came out of Egypt. In Egypt, they were in labor and in toil. Now, let me show you an Egyptian system, because we said last week as we were dealing with some things that Egypt wants to execute the seed. We spoke about the seed as your money, seed as your children, seed as the word of God, seed as the word of the kingdom that comes to you. And we said that seed is responsible for productivity and fruitfulness. So when there is a violation of the command, seed is given. Egyptian systems don't want to give you the seed, don't want you to allow you to have the seed because of the fear that you will become productive and fruitful. Why doesn't Egypt want your fruitfulness to be seen as the people of God? Because then it will give evidence that righteousness produces good fruit. One thing the world is against right now is righteousness. Because postmodernity means it says that you can do whatever you want to, and whatever you can do can make you prosperous. So they want to execute the seed of God's word in your life, the evidence of fruitfulness in your life, simply because they want to prove that God's word is not true. What are the Egyptian mindsets? I want to give you some Egyptian mindsets within some of the things. But in Exodus chapter 1, verse 5 to 11, please bear with me as I give you a precedent for this. The Bible says, all those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died and his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied, grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. So you will see this globally. The church is growing. Verse 8, now there arose a king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to the people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we are. Let me tell you, at any given time, the church is more and mightier than the world. The world knows this. You must know that. You go with your, if you don't understand your identity in Christ, you don't understand who your God is, you'll always think that the church is weak. But globally, the church is very strong. The church is growing. There is the true church, there is the false church. But right now, we're just using the church as a universal term to encompass all those who go to a place called church and believe in Jesus Christ. They are more, and the Bible says, they are mightier. Okay? And Egypt knows this, the world knows this. Wherever you go, they know that you are mightier. It is you and I who don't believe that we are mightier. It is you and I who feel we are the lesser. But you're coming to church and you see, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You'll see how God is greater. But when you go out there, you feel like you're lesser. But Egypt knows this. What does Egypt do? What does that do for Egypt? It makes them fearful. Why? A people who are mightier and more will take over. Yeah? But they have to know what the command is. They'll deal shrewdly with you. The Bible says, he said, look, they are mightier than us, verse 10. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them. So there is a way that you are dealt with in Egypt. They deal with you shrewdly, cunningly. They want to make you struggle. This is the way Egypt functions. And then they set taskmasters to afflict burdens. And they make their life, verse 14, made their life bitter with hard bondage. You see, because of your experiences in the world, you can sometimes resist commandments. Because in the world, you have bitter experiences. So when you receive true commands from God, you don't receive them because someone took advantage of you. Someone abused you. So you doubt God because of an experience in the world. Amen? Okay. So what are the commands meant to do? Why does God give us the commands? Number one is because he wants us to develop a relationship. God gives commands so that there can be relationship building. You'll see this in the Ten Commandments. You'll see that in all of the commands that God gives because he wants to establish a covenant. Number two, why does God give commands? He gives it because he wants a people to be holy. The Bible says in Leviticus 19 verse 2, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Holy means to have belief systems, to have moral practices, to be set apart, to live according to the standard of error. Why does God give commands? He gives commands so that people can enjoy protection and provision. In Exodus 20 verse 8 to 11, you can read of all of that in Deuteronomy 4 verse 40. Observe the Lord's commands so that it may be well with you, that you may lack nothing. Deuteronomy 4 40 says, you therefore shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you. Everyone say, go well with you. And with your children after you, that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God has given you for all time. So God gives commands so that it may be well with you. Okay, are you with me? The world may give you commands because it fears you. But God gives you commands because He wants it to be well with you. That's why I need you to understand that, because when you come under Egyptian rule, the commands that sometimes people give you can put you in a state of rebellion and cause you to think that there's an ulterior motive. So that even when you receive and you come under the commands of God, you can think that it's not intended for your goodness, only meant to make you suffer. Then, why are the commands of God given? It's to teach you dependence on God's grace. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Romans 10 verse 4. The commandments were revealed the need for God's mercy. You realize that no one could keep the commands. Had it not been for God's mercy, we would have never been able to. So we need God's grace. But the commands were also given to form a community. Why does God give you command? Because all who function under the same commands, they become a community. We call them a family, we call them a holy nation. But the commands are given so that God can constitute a family. And you can be different, you can be unique, you can be, your ways are different, your operating systems, your economy. That's why when the church, the kingdom of God, functions on the earth, we have a different economy by way of function. The world can't understand how we can live by the laws we live. Why you have to go to church, why you have to be in the meetings. They don't understand that these commands are given. Why? That it may be well with you. This is the intention. Pastor, why are we having prayer meeting? That it may be well with you. Pastor, why are we having Bible study? Let me give you an answer. That it may be well with you. The intention is that it may be well with you. Oh, it can be very well with you. If you would understand that God commands not for any other reason, His intention is it may be well with you. Amen? So God is forming a complete, a distinct community. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. How does that happen? It comes through the commands of God. The commandments of God. Distinctly given to the people of God. You will find that many people are in church, but they can't follow. They can't follow. Why? Not part of the holy nation. Not part of the royal priesthood. Are you with me? Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, this one you might like. Come alive. Tell your neighbor, come alive.
Come alive.
1 to 5. The commands are given to enable blessings. Come on, someone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We all love blessings. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 40. You can read the whole of Deuteronomy 28 this week, 1 to 40. If you obey the commandments of God, you can determine your own blessing. No one has to pray for you. No one has to lay hands on you. No one has to anoint you with oil. You can get out of sickness. You can get out of disease. You can get out of famine. All because you follow the commands of God. You with me? That's why He commanded us. Because God wants to bless you. God's intention all the time was that He would bless you. How do you know that? You go right to the very beginning when God said Adam in the garden. What was the intention? Excuse me. Everything that Adam needed was there. Everything was there. So God's intention is for blessing. You don't say, I am blessed.
I'm
going to get more blessed. But I need to obey. Blessing is not a bad thing. It comes from God. God is our blesser. Amen?
Yeah,
He's our blesser. Don't let anyone else tell you other than that. Let the world, don't let the world take away what was originally in God. They can't understand. God does not bless for services. It's His nature to be a blesser. You can't help but coming to His family and He blesses you. You don't have to run after Him and say, God, if you give me a car, I'll serve you. He says, no, I can give you a car even if you don't serve. In fact, the people who do worse sometimes, they get more blessings. Because of the generosity of God. That's who He is. But when you function according to the command, it'll be well with you. And here's the other part. You will live long in the land. That's the other part. We just did that to be well with you. But you'll also live long. Yes. Have your grandchildren, great grandchildren, great great grandchildren. Yeah? And if you say, oh no, I don't want so much children, I can't have my own children. No. When God finishes with you, you'll be so blessed. You'll have blessings for 10 generations.
Yeah.
But what's it connected to? Come on. But you have to observe. keep it, you have to carry it. Because the commands are given so that you may be blessed. You see, young people, you have to know how to bypass your parents. I'm serious. Actually, young people are 99 and below, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You said, oh, but we already bypass our parents. No, that's your biological parents. The spiritual deity. The patriarchs. I keep clicking Abraham at 318 train stations. Not even my wife wants to serve me. Where am I on the other? Just joking, baby. Just claim. How do you know I'm blessed? I mean, she's fire, you know. So you have to know that you can get blessed. You have to, listen, this has to be in your mind. Abraham had 318 train stations. He delivered Lot from four. What do you want to be blessed? What's your reason for being blessed? Abraham had 318 train servants. He lived in a tent. He could have built a mansion. He could have had a palace. But when he had a revelation from God, he was looking for the city. Whose builder? It's God. You see, there's a dimension of blessing, but we have not entered it. And if Abraham, who was right in the Old Testament, was there, David, Solomon, Joseph, man, we have not even come in. But what's the key thing to all of it? Commands. Now, everybody likes the big commands. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You never stole anything. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, never committed adultery. I'm thinking most of the church can say that. Yeah? Maybe in the natural, but in the spiritual, you may have divorced yourself from God to be intimate with something else. You replaced your God, that's adultery. So why does God give you commands? It's the way unveils himself. To reveal his character, to reveal his nature. Psalms 145, verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all of his works. God gives us commands. In Leviticus 19, 18, we see the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. But first you must love the Lord your God. So all these commands are to reflect the God that is with us, the God that we serve. So if you have a problem with your neighbor, there's a command you're missing if you're not loving him. Delivering to grassroots, right? We all got neighbors, amen? Yeah. We like the church neighbor, yes? And even those who sometimes we don't like. But we all got neighbors. Let me ask you a question. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Let's go, listen. I'm just not coming to you. Do you love your neighbor? For some of us, we don't even know who our neighbor is. Yes? Oh, you're being quiet now. Well, come on, it's a blessing. Let it leave you well. It's a responsibility of the sons of God to be known where you are. So your neighbor must know you. How you know? How many of you know Christmas time is meant for you to give gifts to your parents? You want to receive, but you can use the opportunity to give gifts. Now, if you have your neighbor's problem, it's the time for you to show up. And whatever they need, even though if they are fighting and swearing, in that time of need, you're called to love who? Neighbor. Yeah? Okay, that was a tough one. We changed the sword next. But it's okay, because we all got neighbors that are very different. But Jesus said, even greater things you will do. Yeah, he said that. We have to believe it, amen? Yeah. I believe it, yeah? Yeah. Because not sitting and saying, what does neighbors think this man? God will remove them. What kind of love that is? You ought to know your landlord is your neighbor. Tenant is your neighbor. Oh, we go a little deeper. Say, go deeper, so go deeper. You have to know. But the command applies to all parts of it. You may have become good at some of things, but these things are very important. How do you love your neighbor?
Some of us even can't even love our spouses, can't even love our parents. Some of us love our church people more than we love our first family. Yeah? This is part of the command, yeah? Yeah, the way I love sister so and so. That's my favorite person. Well, nice guy, favorite. But the concept of man is self-denial. It's entrenched in sacrifice. It's entrenched in you. The love of Jesus was most clearly articulated. Not when he healed the man. When he died on the cross. And all those he healed cursed him. And he did not open his mouth against him. You know that, right? He said, hey, you who healed the lame man. You who did this. Why don't you come down? Show us you are the Son of God. Isaiah 53 says, like a lamb before a shearing shall be silent, so you do not open your eyes. Love. Okay. And the commands is given to unite or to bring into oneness the body of Christ. As Rav shared on Thursday, the forum, one of the main mandates he shared in terms of the body of the ABC call, while we have all of the other folks in mandates, is for the church in the city, the body, to ask for the body. One of the words we receive, the command, is that as Joseph of Arimathea, we will ask for the body. That means our house's mandate is that we will be at every body meeting. Yeah? And at that meeting, we will be able to lift up the body, clothe the body, make sure the body is not hanging naked on the cross, not crucified. And we know that when we heard that word, we said Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man. You see, if you fulfill the command and you live the command, the wealth will come to you. The wealth exists to ensure that the land is not cursed. So Joseph of Arimathea asked for the body because he knew if the body was hanging on it, the whole land would be cursed. You've got to ask yourself, do you remember when God called us into that? How are you asking for the body? How are you clothing the body? Are you ensuring that the body is no more naked and exposed and embarrassed? See, sometimes in our own righteousness, because we are journeying with God, we can develop attitudes that make us mightier and higher than others. The body is made of many parts. Some of the parts displace. But Jesus died for everyone. The command is, ask for the body. Ask for the body. So, command is authoritative. Command is directive. Nation of Israel, the wilderness, Exodus 17, 11. Then the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Lebanon. So, one of the things the command does is it causes your movements, manages your movements, especially in the wilderness. But when you come out of the wilderness, you have to know how to let the command of God lead you. They knew how to do that. Now, the word commandment in the scriptures is first mentioned in Genesis 26, verse 1 to 5, when God is dealing with Isaac and tells Isaac to stay in the land because of the famine. But he tells him that this is the part I want to focus on. He says, verse 4, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give you descendants of all these lands, to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now, if you know, Abraham lived before the law was given. Before the commandments were given. Is that right? Now God is speaking to Isaac long before Moses on the scene. But this is what he says. He says, and Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. All of this appear in Exodus and in Leviticus under the law. Abraham was not around during that time.
Yeah? Okay, very important, because you got to know, is God a liar? Because he said he kept all, obeyed my voice, kept all the statutes, kept all my commandments, my statutes, my laws, he kept my charge. How did he do that? Easy. God, the Bible says, when God made the promise to Abraham, he believed God. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. The Bible says Jesus fulfilled the law through righteousness. You see, when you believe God and you walk in his word, you fulfill all the commandments. That means all of the blessings can be yours. Every promise. Abraham lived long before the law was there. But because he believed God, when God spoke to him in a time of barrenness, in a time of emptiness, because he believed God. How do you know he believed God? Whatever God asked him to do, he did it. God said, get out, he got out. God said, get up, he got up. God said, go, he went. God said, take back your servant, he did it. God said, send Hagar and the son into the wilderness, he did that. Whatever God told him to do, Abraham did. What was that an indication of? He believed God. Can you imagine God telling him, take Hagar and Ishmael, your son, and leave them in the desert to die? Guess what Abraham did? He did it. He believed God. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. By Exodus 15, verse 25. None of the diseases of the Egyptians will come upon you. Verse 25, it says, so he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, Moses here. When he cast it into the waters remained sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Hey, listen. There's a way to access healing. I don't know what you're sick of. Or who's sick of you. But there's a way to get healing. He says, I won't put all of the diseases that I brought, put on the Egyptians. I won't put it on you. But what is the requirement? You must do what is right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments. Keep all his statutes. Now, here's how we're going to move. And so hopefully, I told you what the purpose of the command is, what God's intention is, the command, how it first features. But let me show you through the scriptures, what are some of the features of the command, the commandment. Psalms 19 verse 8 says this. It says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Can I say pure? Enlightening the eyes. So the commandment is not just something you have to do as an obligation. It has great benefit in it because the commandment of the Lord is pure. Why? It comes from a pure place. So what does that mean? It means that when you engage the commandments of the Lord, you have to know how to engage them without suspicion, without doubt of what God's intention is. Lots of people, they hear us in church and say, hey, the pastor talking about tithing. Hey, this thing here, pastor, you make money, yeah? You must say, yeah. Say, we also like money.
Yes.
Yeah? The world thinks we are suspicious. They don't know it's the commandment of the Lord. In fact, if you go onto the internet, you'll find more articles on the internet. For those of you who are weak, don't go there. That will tell you why you shouldn't have. Yeah? But the Bible says here, the commandment of the Lord is pure.
Yes.
You see, if you see it as a law and not as a commandment, you will have a different response to it.
Yes.
Slaves, when it came to law, they served out of compulsion, not voluntarily.
Yes.
But sons, when they hear the commandment, in their mind, the commandment is pure. That it may be the son is configured that way. Every commandment that is given, he knows this intention of the Father Because it comes from God our Father. Because He is our provider. Because His intention is for a relationship, covenant. Because He wants to bless us. Because of all of these things. It's pure in its nature and its intent is that it may be well with us. Same as pastors sometimes. You know, yeah, you ask Abraham. Ask Abraham, hey, Abraham. So tell me what you were thinking when God said, take now your son, your only son Isaac. I said, no, I wasn't thinking. Next morning I was up and I was gone. Because you can't argue with what I know about him. And what happened? Noah's plague was prayed this morning. The lamb was stuck there. I don't know how long it was waiting because Abraham was a bit slow in walking. 3 days journey. But the lamb was prepared. Do you know that many people never saw the ram because they thought the command was trying to make them poor? Oh, you'll get that some other time. Oh, there's a ram waiting. God prepared. It's prepared for you. It's been growing while Isaac has been growing. It's been nourished while Isaac has been nourished. But the unfolding of Jehovah Jireh was only in Abraham's journey, and he trusted, he believed God's command. He knew it was pure, motivated by nothing else but that it may be well with us. Hey, when God asks you to detach from something, give something, release something, what's in your mind? A hard thing to do. Or is it, did you understand that he only asks you because he wants it to be well with us? Hey, come on now. How many of you postponed the lamb? Now the lamb got a chair on, he's waiting. But Mount Moriah became too hard to climb because you see that moment, if you don't climb in that time, you're getting older. It gets harder to part with things because you get more attachment. You become more sentimental. You got to make sure you're not getting sentimental with the things that he's asking for because your wellness is connected to him. This is the whole thing about living. Abraham thought he was going to, he said, you gave me the son. If I have to give up his only son, how will I multiply? It didn't make sense. How will he multiply if the very one that was supposed to cause his name to be multiplied? How was it going to take place? Oh, you have to know that the word of God, the command of God was pure. Everyone say pure.
Pure.
What does the purity of this word do? It opens your eyes to new reality. You see, you can't see until you hear and you do. Abraham never knew the ram was there. But because he stayed with the commandment, he got to see. The things God spoke about, you'll only get to see when you walk in the commandment. You? So you gotta ask yourself, how many times God commanded you and you didn't do it because you wondered whether this could actually be God. And could God actually want something like this? It doesn't sound kosher. Could God want more from me? Hi, Pastor. I think it's you who want more, not God. Yeah. Because you come from an Egyptian system. Even church was governed by Egyptian mentality. Get out of you as much as we can. And we use it in the name of the Lord, in the name of the building, in all of that, so that when you came to truth, purity could not receive it because you had so much of bad experiences. Okay. This is what the Bible says. Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in. He said the command is pure. Now, the Proverbs, the writing of Proverbs makes it this way. It says, every word of God is pure. Now, what is it? He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. How do you put your trust in Him? Because every word you receive as pure, as an instruction, as a command. What does that mean? The commandment ensures protection. You see, God will never give you a word and leave you exposed. In the word, you're always protected. Even if he sends you into the lions and sends you to the fire, hey, I tell you, you just need the word of the Lord, the command of the Lord, because everyone who puts their trust in him will be protected. He's a shield. Yeah, so you can't make a bad decision. God will protect you even from your bad decision. Ask Abraham. Abraham goes into Egypt. Even though he left with God, he went there, he got Hagar, bonus, and he also got sheep and cattle. All of that. So when Sarah was troubling him, she said, "Now take Hagar." Yes? Bonus. Target. Hagar. You see, you got to know, do you know how to trust God? Receive his commandments. The Bible says in Psalms 12, verse 6 to 7, the word of the Lord, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in the furnace. Psalms 24, verse 3 to 5, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Now, how do you get a pure heart? Because the Bible says, Jeremiah says, the heart is desperately wicked. Is that right? How do you get a pure heart? You know? Even that too is going to be desperately wicked. Easy. You take the pure word, put it into the heart. It becomes a pure heart. Take the pure word, the command. As you receive the purity of the word, the cleanness of it, knowing that God loves you, God cares for you, as that word enters your heart, and you do it with all of your heart becomes pure. Because it's no more your thoughts, no more your feelings. It's the word. See, so it's possible to have a pure heart. Because the commandment is pure. The word is pure. And thy word have I hid in my heart that I might. There you go. There you go. It's possible. All of these things are possible. But it comes through the commandment. Everything comes through the commandment. The Bible says in verse number 5, we shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God, he said. Psalm 73, verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. Purity in the heart is determined by the commandments. The goodness of God abounds to those who function according to the commandments. Psalms 119, verse 140, your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. You see, when you discover the purity of God's word, you no more get into a place of doubting and questioning. You just love it. But the posture you take is servanthood. Therefore, who loves it? Not your king, not your man, your servant. See, servants discern the purity of the master. Therefore, his words they can love. One who is not a servant questions, hey, is this really good or not, but a servant? Or they love the word. They know the words are pure. They come from a pure place. Matthew 5:8, this is the one we all like. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How do you see God? You see him through his commandments manifested. The word becomes flesh. You will start to see God. Because his pure words have entered into you. Oh, you will behold him. You will discern him. You will know him. Now, what is the purpose of the commandment? When Paul is writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. You read there, he says, no, you mustn't tolerate any other doctrine. But what is the purpose of the commandment? The purpose is to bring love. Why? God is. And how does God communicate? How does God bring us into this place? It's through the command. So when he says, you shall love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself, it's to bring you to the place called love. This is the fundamental of everything. Why? Love never fails. If relationships fail, it's probably because you never encountered the love of God. You see, you have to know how to hold on to the commandment. Even when the heart is hurting.
Hello?
Yeah. Know how to hold on to the commandment even when you are clean. Because the command is pure. For a time you may have to go through loss, hurt, pain, oh, but love never fails. Ah, I can guarantee that. You got to know how to hold on to it.
Now, why is this very important? Because, do you know, the Bible says in James 3:17 that the wisdom that comes from above is first pure. You see how the commandment is pure. The words of God are pure. But what is it? It's not just a commandment. It's wisdom. Come on. The commandment is the wisdom from above. That's why the world can't understand it. That's why people can't discern it, because it's a wisdom of God. The Bible says the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. When you receive the commandment and if you spoke to Abraham, you said, Abraham, tell me now, why did you just get up and follow the commandment? No, this was the wisdom of God. So when you access the wisdom of God, what do you know? Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the first thing, which means it attracts first things in your life. Creation. First fruits. That means you have signs that will determine and testify of what is to come. Wisdom builds the house. That means when you receive the commands of God, you become a builder. And a builder of purity, a builder in love. Everything you build stands. Everything you build has the essence of love in it. Why? It comes from the command of the Lord, which is pure. Well, you see, the command of God is not just instruction. It's the love of God. It's the wisdom of God. Priority is setting things. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 1 says this. Who is like a wise man? And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine. A man's wisdom changes his countenance. A man's wisdom makes his face shine. You don't have to put blue seal, Vaseline. Yeah? Don't have to put baby oil. You automatically shine because of the wisdom. When you're connected to Christ, the words that are pure are the words that bring light. And that causes you to shine. Guess what, sons of God? When you function by the command of God, there is not a work environment where you will not shine. Yes. This is the way it is. Guess what's going to make you shine? Wisdom. They don't know. They think you, hey, you so upright, you don't go clubbing, you know. I'm just checking if I'm talking for you. You don't go clubbing, you don't go out in the, you're not living this wild life, you're not living. They don't know. Oh no, no, you're living. Yes. Not the life you see with your eyes. Yes. Oh no, no, I got substance, I'm happy, yes. I can be content, I have everything I need, plus I'm multiplying. Yes. Some of us be increasing. Yeah? But this is all within the purity of God. Why? It's the wisdom of God. Yes. But here's the thing. If you know it's the wisdom of God, if you know it's the command of God, but the love is not there, you won't experience this. You have to love His word. Love Him. Love His word. So, when that happens, a man's face shines, the Bible says, and the sternness of his face is changed. How many people you know got a stern face? Yeah? Don't you know anyone? Hey, all of you are very quiet now. People got stern faces. That means they get angry, get pulled up, pull their eyebrows down. Other people go to threading like that, and they draw it like that, but you can just do it like that. You see, when wisdom of God, which comes from a pure place, the love of God comes,
You don't need to be stern anymore.
Yes.
Why? There's an authority that comes with a command.
Yes.
I struggle with that. Why? My face can change. If you want to know me angry, my face will change. My voice will get louder. Because I'm good like that. But there's an authority that comes when you comply with a command. Where you don't have to raise your voice. Where you have to speak. What heaven and earth knows, chaos will come in order, light will shine in the darkness, intimacy to God. We have to get to that place. But how do you get to that place? Because you say, hey, these things, you know people talk about it. These things, if you don't show them, I know you all don't talk about that because we are people who, we don't shout at them. We don't fight with them. But the command is so clear. If the command comes into you, abides in you, you love the command, you become a commander. I'm tired of shouting. My blood pressure goes up. One day I'll get stroke. Then my wife had to take care of me. Because my blood pressure went down. Because I didn't know that if I keep the command, I don't have to shout. The sternness of my face, it my smile will make it stay. Can you imagine I'm smiling and talking to you, but you're shivering and chilling? Because you can't see the knife of my body. No. Because of the authority that is within you.
Yes.
So you walk into a dangerous sanctuary. There's hijackings, there's killings. But you are living by the command. And the authority is known by creation, because God spoke to creation. The authority is known by humankind, because He spoke to them. That which He spoke is in you. Now you become the authority. That's how you can ask for everything. And places that others won't go, you can go. Because you become the command center of God. Are you with me? Hey, actually, if you get this here, you're going to go into areas where people don't want to go. And that's going to be your areas of worry. That's going to be your areas of supernatural abounding. Because the command of the Lord is in you. Amen?
Amen?
Now, this is the last part. Let me say amen.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 11, verse 8 to 9. Are you okay?
Amen.
With me? Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong. Everyone say strong.
Strong.
See, the commandment not only gives you wisdom, not only gives you love, but it gives you strength. See, if you obey the command of the Lord, you become a strong people. What did we say from Daniel today? The people who know their God. So, the commandment gives you strength. People who know their God shall be strong. The commandment causes you to know your God. Yeah? When God gives you a particular commandment, in that time it is to reveal an attribute of Himself. An attribute you didn't know. Something you didn't perceive. When He sent you to the valley of the shadow of death, you will know that there is a Lord over the valley of the shadow of death. When He sent you through sickness in the midst of it, you will know the God, I am the Lord that heals thee. When you go through the time of famine, you will know that He is your supplier. But it comes from keeping the commandment, and that command makes you strong. That command makes you stand up in the midst of adversity. That command makes you see adversity and you hear the word of the Lord and you plant in a time of famine. And it is absolutely ludicrous to everyone else. But it made you strong. Made you do something that weak people won't do because everyone is saying, hey, not the right time to be planting now. What you stay here for? You better get your immigration and move to New Zealand. Move to Australia. Move to Canada. Move America. Well, everybody wants to leave. He said, stay in this land. This is where I'll make you prosperous, more prosperous, until you become
all the people said the land is bad. No, the authority is wrong.
Yes. Yes.
You're getting your authority from the ills of men, from the laws of men. If you're going to let heaven invade the earth, you must get this thing right. The command is to bring an authority into your life. You think God is your head until He gives you a command. Then you'll decide how your head fights with God's head. You'll realize that you don't think God's word is so pure after all. No, you must know that when He gives you a command to stay in a location, to occupy a territory, oh, it is that it may be well. And you're not going to die early in South Africa. Hijackings will take place, murders will take place. It'll happen all around you. Why? You got the command of the Lord. It may be well with you, and you will live long in the land. Ah, come on, you got to believe it, right? This is why He gives you the command, that you may live. That's the first part, that you may live. Oh, God wants you to live. He wants you to live a quality of life that is far higher. He wants you to live a quality of life that you've driven past for many years. You went through territories, went through all of the different locations and different suburbs, and you said, hey, how nice one day we'll have a house. How nice is here?
Amen.
Yeah, how nice is here? Welcome to the day of how nice. Yes, the command of the Lord, if you can believe it, because the Bible says, He fulfilled my statutes, He fulfilled my law. Abraham fulfilled all of that without hearing one. Because he believed God. And it was counted to him as righteousness. Be strong. The command will make you strong. Make you not fearful. A couple other things I have to say, but come, let's stand.